All right, we're going to preach a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He said there in verse number 4, he's talking about the gospel shining in the hearts of darkened men and women. And he talked about the glorious gospel. This gospel we preach and this gospel we believe, the gospel of the good news, is glorious. And that's what I'm going to talk about a few minutes this morning, is the glorious gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's glorious. The Bible talks about the truth of the gospel. The Bible calls it the fellowship of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the confirmation of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel, the defense of the gospel, the laboring in the gospel, faith of the gospel, trust of the gospel, called into the gospel, afflictions of the gospel. And here it calls it this glorious gospel. It's glorious. There's nothing like the gospel. The Bible tells us the word gospel means good news. I remember the night that the good news of the gospel shone in my dark heart as a young man, 20 years old. I'll never forget it till the day I die. I believe if like my daddy, when he died, before he died, he had Alzheimer's and he couldn't remember anything, but you could walk up to him in that nursing home and ask him about his salvation experience, and crystal clear, he could tell you about the day that he got saved. There's something about this gospel, brother and sister, your salvation experience, God just allows it to be crystal clear in your mind. I remember the day that God saved me, and it's glorious. There's nothing like it. And there's something about when people begin to sing about it and talk about it, it's glorious. I've met people before that you start talking about being saved and they just act like that you chewing gum blow bubbles and just act like it ain't no big deal. And this woman told me one time, she said, "Well, I don't know." She said, I've always been saved. I can't ever remember not being saved. I thought, "Sister, you ain't saved." Amen. Because listen, when you're saved, you can remember a time in your life that you was not saved, that you was on your way to hell, and you was living a life of misery, and you was lost and undone without God and in darkness, and you had those chains of sin on you, and there was no hope and no help. You was without God in this world, and one day the light came on, and Jesus Christ came by and saved your never-dying soul from hell. And brother, the precious blood of Jesus they're singing about was applied to your soul. And brother, there was a change took place in your life. And I promise you this morning, you'll never forget that day as long as you live. You might not know the day or the hour. You might not can mark it on your calendar. But you can remember a time in your life that Jesus Christ became real. And brother, it wasn't. It's not just a manger scene out in somebody's yard. It's not just Christmas time. But you remember a time in your life that you surrendered your life to God, and you repented of your sins, and Jesus became a reality, and you became to know Him as a person, not a religious experience, but a personal experience with a real person. Oh, brother, it's a reality. I'll tell you what, brother, this gospel I'm talking about this morning, it's glorious. Oh, brother, it's nothing like it. I thank God for the day that God saved my soul. Oh, brother, this is real. Amen. This 35 years later, as it was that night in November 1978, when I fell on my face, a long hair, yeah, I had hair back then, a pot-smoking redneck, I fell on my face, and I said, "God, my daddy been preaching and telling me that I might confess my sin, and I'd ask Jesus Christ to save me from hell, that you'd save me." And God did exactly what He said He would do. He said, "If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said He'd save you." And He did just exactly what this blessed old Bible said He would do. He saved me right then and there. And brother, I've been saved ever since. Ain't that good? That ain't proper English, brother, but that's proper preaching. It's glorious. I'll tell you something this morning. This glorious gospel, first of all, I want you to know the message of this glorious gospel. It's about reconciliation. The message is reconciliation. Colossians 1:20 said, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself." There's something about the blood. You can't get away from it, brother. There's something about the blood. He reconciled us to God. Adam and Eve lost fellowship in the Garden of Eden, but Jesus Christ bought it back on the cross. Oh, brother, I want you to know it's about reconciliation. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. In Exodus chapter 12, God told Moses to kill the lamb and apply the blood to the doorpost. There was a lamb for an individual. He said, "There's a lamb for a man." He said, "Also, there's a lamb for a family." I'm glad not only did I get saved, but my wife got saved and my kids got saved. He said, "Not only is there a lamb for a man, there's a lamb for a family." And He said, "There's a lamb for a nation." But John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, as He's baptizing and preaching on the riverbanks, He said, "Oh, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Not only is He a lamb for a man, and a lamb for a family, and a lamb for a nation, but He's a lamb for the world. Oh, brother, listen. I'm talking about reconciliation. Now, that's the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He reconciles all things to Himself. He was a sacrificial lamb, a substituted lamb, a sufficient lamb, a sinless lamb, a spotless lamb, a saving lamb, and He was a slain lamb. When He hung there on the cross, it should have been you. And it should have been me. Hanging there, bleeding and dying. The innocent for the guilty. His heart was broken for you and for me. It's about reconciliation. It's about repentance. I want to tell you something, people. It's for the wasted sinner and for the wayward saint. The message is about getting right with God. We're living a day and time now where preachers don't even preach repentance anymore. I mean, it's just easy believism. Repeat a prayer after me. And I mean, got these evangel cubes and all kind of weird stuff and puppets and clowns and all this weird stuff. But it's still old-fashioned. Get right with God and repent. John the Baptist told him out there on the riverbanks, he said, "You generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come?" He said, "Get out of here and go get right with God and repent. I ain't going to baptize none of you, you bunch of devils." He said, "Get right with God and bring back some fruits of your repentance." What, you just like to hear somebody preach repentance once in a while? It seems like every one of these preachers on the television, it seems like all the idiots has got the money. Yeah. Don't it? I know it ain't popular preaching, but I mean, brother, all the idiots is on television almost. Ain't but one or two real preachers on there anymore. Flip through the channels and they got these weird hairdos and pink hair and all that makeup. And my God, they look like they put it on the mason jar in a 5-gallon bucket. Begging for money and selling froze dried food and flashlights and everything. I went to God, you'd see somebody out there saying, "Repent! Get right with God! You're going to hell if you don't get saved." Fully on selling stuff and begging for money. Tell somebody they need Jesus, and without Him, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to burn in the lake of fire. It's a message, brother and sister. Repent of your sins. It's a message of restoration to the bruised and broken and battered. Your life may be in shambles this morning, but there's a message. The gospel message will help you. You say, "Preacher, I need some help. I need assistance. I need some money. I need rent. I need my life bill paid." Hey, we ain't about all that. I'll tell you what I can do. I can't fix all that, but I'll tell you what I can help you with. I can point you to the old rugged cross. It'll really, really fix up your problem. You really get hooked up with Jesus and get the blood applied to your life, and all that other stuff will take care of itself. You've got the destroyer on your life. What's wrong with you? A person that serves God and lives right, gets out from under the curse of sin, serves God and goes to church, pays your tithes like you ought to, you won't have that junk on you.
That's right. I ain't saying you won't have trouble. Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, people will shout till you start getting on this stuff. Yeah, it's a message of restoration, brother. Listen, the gospel. I'm talking about the complete Bible. I'm not talking about picking out a verse here and there and preaching on prosperity and money and health and wealth. Oh, that's bull anyway. Paul never was wealthy or healthy. He's the greatest Christian that ever lived. He was sick and broke his whole life. And in jail. Well, you made half of you mad. Let's take up all before anybody gets gone. I was just kidding, brother. Sit down. Bring me back a chicken leg. I'm getting hungry. It's a message of restoration. God will change your life if you commit your way unto Him. He shall direct thy paths. But you've got to do it His way. It's about repentance and restoration. Give your life to Him. You can't do it your way. You can't give Him a part of it and just keep on living in sin and shacking up and taking drugs and drinking liquor and raising hell and doing everything you want to do. It don't work that way, baby. No! You've got to give your life to God and live according to what the Bible says. He said, "Bro, I ain't never heard talk like that." Well, it's about time then. You're overdue. It's about regeneration. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Amen. Behold, all things become new." God can do what AA can't do. Amen. God can do what Al-Anon can't do. And God can do what drug rehab can't do. Amen. God can do what man can't do. Amen. God can do what counseling can't do. Amen. God can do what no man can't do. And society reforms, but God can transform. I've seen it too many times. I've seen it work. I know that it can work. I've watched it work. I've seen it happen in my life. I know for a fact that it worked. I know people that go to this church, and I've seen it work. I've watched it work in their life. I've seen marriages come back together. I've seen men get off drugs. I've seen them quit liquor. I've seen marriages come back to life and come back together that was in shambles. I've seen God put the pieces of people's lives back together. I know it works. I've seen it happen. God can do it.
Amen.
This is not a fairy tale I'm preaching about. He mends broken hearts. He rebuilds ruined marriages. He repairs failed relationships and dysfunctional homes. He can take an abusive, foul-mouthed, mean, heartless drunk and make him a hard-working, responsible, tender-hearted husband and father. One old boy got saved. He's a redneck, drunk. And I'm talking about wouldn't pay his bills. Took what little bit of money he made and wasted it on beer and liquor, and his wife couldn't have nothing. He got saved, started going to church and working, and somebody started picking at him at work, and he said, "Hey, Master Jesus, turn water into wine." He said, "I don't know about that, but he turned beer into furniture down my house." Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I quit blowing my money on beer. We got furniture down at the house, bless God. I'm telling you what, brother, you give Jesus a try. You commit your way into Him. Brother, He'll regenerate your life. He'll fix your life. He'll transform you. That's the message of the gospel. A changed life. That is the message. Secondly, the means of the gospel. The means of the gospel. It's old-fashioned Bible preaching. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." 1 Corinthians 1:21. In all my life in the ministry and men in church, the people that really love God, you mark this down in the back of your Bible somewhere, people that really love Jesus love preaching. The people that don't care nothing about preaching, you mark them off, ain't much to them. Amen? The people that follow singing groups but they don't like preaching, they're about this deep. They're shallow. And I ain't knocking singers, I love them. We've sung our whole entire Christian lives. But I don't take singing over preaching. I love singing. It don't replace preaching. I ain't saying it because I'm a preacher. I listen to singing all the time, but I listen to preaching all the time too. Are you with me so far? Old-fashioned Bible preaching, brother. Real, honest-to-goodness preaching has never has never been interested in social standing and popularity, but pleasing God and Him alone. Listen, brother, stand straight up and get up on your perch. Open up your King James Bible, suck some air back into them leather lungs, right back on your new clothes, and let her rip, Tater Chip. That's right. That's what we need, brother. I mean, brother, brother, tell the blessed good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need more of. You say, preacher, you're just saying that because you're a preacher. I'm saying it because it's the truth. Nothing excites me more than to hear somebody. We went to revival the other night, and I wasn't expecting much. And I don't say that to be critical. But nowadays, you just don't get much anymore. But I was pleasantly surprised. And I was about the only one in the place hollering. I was. That's the back of this big old church. And I guess some of them, I was making the guy in front of me nervous. He twitched about every time I hollered. Preach it, big boy! I was enjoying it, son. He was dropping the hammer. That old guy, he looked like about 70 years old. And the more I hollered amen, the more he liked it. The more he is preaching. He's getting up on his new claws, Brother Sam. Amen. I mean, I was back there in the back row. I said, come on! Come on, Jack! Say that again! And then some old guy down the front started hollering amen. About 300 people in there is all like. I could tell someone was looking around like, oh God, it's that fella from over there. That church. Get him out of here. I'm surprised they didn't call Brother Preston to come over and get me. Get him out of here. There's still some good preachers left. You know what we ought to do? Back them up, son. Holler. Preach it, boy. Amen. Come on with it. Listen, brother, we need to preach it. Moses came down off the mountain. Joshua said, I hear a noise in the camp. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Hey, brother, that's what we need, some preachers. Joshua said, there's a cursed thing when Achan stole the accursed thing. Samuel said, he preached when he said, it's better to obey than sacrifice. Elijah, he preached when he said, how long halt you between two opinions? Nathan preached when he pointed his finger to King. He said, thou art the man. Jeremiah said, hey, he said, I will mar the pride of Judah. Isaiah preached when he said, the whole head is sick. Ezekiel preached when he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Daniel said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Hosea said, the Lord hateth controversy. Joel said, the day of the Lord is at hand. Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. Obadiah said, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Micah said, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. Nahum said, woe to a bloody city full of lies and robbery. Habakkuk said, woe to him that built a town with blood and established a city by iniquity. Zephaniah said, the great day of the Lord is near. Haggai said, you have sown much, but trouble bring little. Zechariah said, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi said, you offer polluted bread upon my altar. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Stephen was the first deacon to ever live, and he said this. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your heart. He said, you did not believe the prophets. And he said, you have slain the Holy One of Israel. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Jesus Christ came preaching repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. All the apostles preached repentance. And brother, they killed them one right after the other. Brother, I want to tell you, we need men of God that will preach. God has chose preaching. That is the means of the gospel. Amen. Even though we're living a day and hour where we got Twitter, whatever it is, Nosebook, and got worldwide internet, and we got satellites out in space, God still chooses the spoken word of God through lowly human beings. And that's what He chose. Good old-fashioned preaching. Real preaching will get to the heart of all of it. Life, love, relationships, marriage, child-rearing, sex, drug abuse, alcohol, government, war, pleasure, husbands and wives, how to raise your kids, work, paying bills, debt, the right way to worship. Real preaching covers it all. Real preaching covers every subject under the sun. Really. Amen. The means of the gospel. Thirdly, the motive of the gospel. Ephesians 1:4 said, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The motive of this glorious gospel
is to reach men and women for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of churches in this modern day has missed the whole reason, the whole motive for this gospel is still to reach men and women. The whole motive for this gospel is just to reach people. It's to bring men and women to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a social order. It's not an organization, but a hospital for sinners. It's a lighthouse for shipwrecked souls. It's a lifeline for those on the edge of eternity. Give the wind a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. The church has flaws, but the gospel has never failed. The scope of this motive, it reaches from the guttermost to the uttermost. When you think about the scope of this motive and who it's reached and what it's done over the years, it's hard to imagine. If you think about people come to a church like this, or any of y'all that's visiting go to other churches, and you think about the scope of the gospel, what it's done, and you look around the church, sinners come to church and they look at us. And they think, well, that's not for me. Y'all are church people. They don't realize it. Really, we're not. We're sinners.
Amen.
We're just a bunch of sinners.
Amen.
We're just a bunch of sinners that got saved.
Amen.
Ain't that right? They look at us all dressed up and in our suits and dresses, and we get up in the choir, we get up and preach, and they think, wow, I wished I could do that, but I'm just dirty. They don't realize we're dirty too.
Amen.
The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men.
Amen.
It just so happens that we fell down at the foot of the cross. Come on, the piano.
Amen.
We fell down at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
And just got us a dose, and they could do the same thing.
Amen.
Sometimes I think we fail to present that message, the simplicity of the gospel. How simple it is. The Bible said the foolishness of preaching. Now that word foolishness don't mean foolish preaching. The foolishness means simplicity. It means it's so simple. You ever wonder why little kids come to the altar and get saved? It's because their heart's so tender. When you get older, you just get hard-hearted and you just heard it and you've heard it and you turn the Lord away and you push Him away and your heart gets harder. But little kids, they really get it more than you think they do. If you preach it right and you keep it simple, they get it.
Amen.
And you tell them they're lost, they need Jesus. Really, hey people, really this gospel ain't that complicated. We can complicate it and make it real elaborate, you know.
Right.
We can complicate this thing. We can talk about the law and we can go into all this stuff and the covenants and all that stuff, dispensations and all that. And we can simplify it too. You were born a lost sinner. And without Jesus, you're lost. You're going to go to hell without Him. He paid the debt. And if you'll accept it, it's free. And you can go to heaven. It's that simplicity. I remember my son, Travis, was witnessing to a lost man one time. And here's what he told me. He said, Travis, there ain't no way. This guy, he's pretty well off, had a lot of money. He said, there ain't no way. He said, why? He said, why won't you get saved? He said, Travis, there ain't no way it's that. He said, it can't be that easy. He wouldn't give his heart to the Lord. He said, it can't be that easy. He said, it can't be that simple now. He said, come on, man. He said, what else is there to it? Travis said, that's the whole beauty of it. It is that simple. It is that simple. You're lost. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin that's left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, what don't you understand about that? That's the simplicity of the gospel, folks. There's a song we sing around here all the time. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side there I dimly descried a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, ship ahoy, ship ahoy. Loudly I cried, ship ahoy. We're trying to throw out the lifeline to you today. This service has been a big celebration and everything. But really, the best thing can happen today is not how many people we brought or how much food we got. But if you'd just reach out and grab that lifeline and let us pull you into Calvary. And the source of it is Jesus. I can't save you. I can't help you if I tried. Jesus did it all. I can't help you. As a guy told me one day, he said, "I'm counting on you, preacher." I said, "Whoa, bud, better not count on me. I couldn't save a sick mouse. I can't save my own kids, my own wife. I can't. All I can do is throw out that life preserver. You got to grab it. All we're doing is offering you a blank check. You got to take it and endorse it." You see, religion is what man tries to do for God so God will accept him, let him in. But it'll never work. Your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But salvation is what God does for you that you can never do for yourself. You know, man's been spending centuries doing things for God to try to get in that he will never be able to get in. Centuries. Thousands of years man's been doing stuff trying to get into heaven, and none of them's got in. So Jesus went to the cross and did it. See, there's the do crowd. That's the people that do this and do this and do this to get into heaven. Then there's the don't crowd. That's the people that don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, hoping they'll get in. And then there's us. That's the done crowd. He did it all and it's done. All we got to do is accept it. Just accept it. Will you be that one this morning? It's the glorious gospel. He'll save you. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed just for a moment.